jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 23 Supercoach Coach Podcast. This is our grand final show, our last show for the season. Thank you very much for joining us. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. It seems a long time since those first episodes this year. We did work out the other day that we've hit over 200 shows.
An absolute accomplishment. So I've got to dig through the time vault there and look at the hours recorded as well. I think that'd be interesting. Just before we get into the show, Mark, massive round of thanks to everyone, especially those of you who are still listening. Listenership tends to drop throughout the season as people lose interest as Supercoach as their trades dwindle. So for those of you, I guess, hardcore Supercoaches that are still listening all the way to round 23, a massive, massive thanks.
Massive. You guys are the best.
And also to our Patreon listeners, Mark, this has been the first year that we've reached out for a little bit of crowdfunding support, and it's been fantastic to see that, you know, warmly received by our community. And to those of you who've actually shelled out a few of your own dollars from your own pockets, if the previous thanks was massive, then this is, I don't know, absolutely huge. So thank you so much to anyone who actually shelled out dollars from your pocket to help us along, Mark.
Yeah, we weren't sure how that would go. I remember meeting up with you earlier in the preseason and having a bit of a chat about that, and been really stoked with all the support and people that have held on with funding the show all year, because it really does make a huge difference to us and bigger and better things going forward now. I think that just to help with the running costs really means that we feel a bit more secure going forward.
And just as a reminder, we are recording a season review special that will be exclusive. Yeah, exclusive for our Patreon listeners as a token of our gratitude. Hopefully you enjoy that content, and it'll look at a lot of our decisions from the year, our best trades, looking at potential trends for next year. And so we look forward to recording that one last show, Mark. We'll get the team together for that with Faz and Dunny, hopefully. And so if you're interested in that, it's not too late to sign up. It's only one small payment at this point. If you sign up to support us this last month. If you're interested in the show, you can do that as well. We'd very much appreciate that. All right, we might as well get into it, mate. The main crux for this week's show is actually just going to be picking out PODs, I reckon, Mark. Picking out some captain choices. Before we get into the actual show, let's start off with a round review. Mark, why don't you kick us off?
Do we have to? 23-25 for me. Which saw me drop out of the top 1,000 for the first time since the buys, and it was a big drop too. 1,180th overall. Just a terrible week, really, I guess. A lot of my premiums were pretty flat. Laird didn't really get it going. I brought in Hawley to cover Bartel, and he really didn't do much. Vice-captain on Dangerfield, which was okay, but not huge. Sloan's had two bad weeks in a row. Cochin's had two really bad weeks in a row. Had the Zorko buddy combo, which is probably really the killer for the week. I think any team that had both of those probably struggled a little bit. Also, Mumford only 84 this week. So I was glad to see Gorn not completely dominate as he has been lately, but yeah, just a lot of underperformers. And look, I can't be too upset. I know I have dropped out of the top 1,000, but I feel like I've taken enough shots with my team to try and get myself a decent ranking and try and get into that top 300. And I'd rather have done that then have just sort of sat back and just picked the same players as everyone else the whole way through, and not taken a couple of gambles. So, look, part of gambling is sometimes you lose, and yeah, I'm okay with that. The only bad part is that you seem to have gone a fair way ahead.
You have one more week to break back into that top 1,000, Mark, so that's what I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you. I think I've got a fair lead on you now. I scored 24.94, which was a pretty big week, and so I think I'm about 250 points ahead of you now at the rank of 580th, and it's been my goal to get into that top 500 mark. I'm awfully close. I'm hoping with two trades left, Mark, that I can somehow sneak in with that last round to go. I did one trade for the week, trading out Bartel, and I wanted to trade in a player that was playing against Essendon because they give away quite a few points to backline players, and Jason Johannesson was the guy I traded in, and for his price, 130 was really, really good, so that was probably my big win for the week. Might as well go to the league update. We caught up 387 points, and we're another 185 behind. We've literally come second 5-6 times out of 7.
Yeah.
And it's been different groups pipping us each time. I mean, it literally could not get any more tragic. I hope 2016's the year for us, mate. Honestly, the champagne will be flowing if we win.
It's been a lot of silver medals throughout our time. Just normally choke in the last round, but this round we seem primed.
I mean, if you're into cheering for underdogs, please keep your fingers crossed for us, because it definitely really, feels... Like,
that's one of the greatest stories in sport.
Yeah, in fantasy sport, Australian fantasy sport, there'd be no bigger story, Mark. All right, a group update, the final one for the season. I thought we'd mention a few more names. So we'll start off with the highest score for the round. 26-55 was massive. That's Lawrence's Lawyer out of Compton. That moved him up to 513th. Big round. Big round by Lawrence. Congrats to you, mate. And then I'm just going to give a shout out to the users who are currently sitting in the top 100. Hopefully you can stay there for the rest of the season. Audaciously Ava, 36th. Bonafide Scrubs, 54th.
Yeah, we love Jack.
Darren's I Already Did This, who was flying the flag for us for a while there, 64th. Crystal's Frogs, 81st. And RDFC, who was leading at 1.97th. So to all of you in the top 100 in our Supercoach Coach group with one round to go, congrats and good luck staying in there. It's always exciting being in the double digits, isn't it, Mark?
That is, yeah, those top 100 finishes are something you can remember, put your hat on.
Mm-hmm. That's enough of an update. We spent a little bit more time there, but aptly so, because it's the last one of the season, Mark. Almost a little bit sad. We've been waiting for this day for a while now, feeling sad that it's over for the season. Anyway.
You sound like one of my students, mate. They go through all of high school, they can't wait to leave, and then the last day they just want to stay as long as possible.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it's feeling like. All right, we'll move on to the show now. Before we get to general trade questions, we're going to look at the run home, which is, you know, only one game now, Mark. So the grand final game, looking at sort of the best runs home or the best game for the week. And I've picked three out who aren't actually, they're not actually top eight teams, but I think the opposition they're coming against presents some pretty good point of difference options for us in grand final week. So I'm going to start off with the first team at St Kilda against Brisbane, Mark. Saints have been in a fairly good run, and I think they might even finish outside of the top eight on percentage alone. And if they had beaten North in that one-on-one game, they could have even made the finals. Yeah, so I think...
great season for them.
Yeah, that level of team going up against the Brisbane Lions, St Kilda players could be in for quite a few points there. And Brisbane Lions in particular seem to give away points to defenders and forwards. So players like Nick Riewoldt all of a sudden look a whole heap better. But beyond that, if you're in your last week and you only need to pick one player for 1 week, you might even start picking players that cost, you know, let's say 300K for an extra loophole player, just because they only have to score, you know, 110 1 week.
A Tim Membry is probably a favourite to kick at least 5 goals this week, and he has posted some big scores so far this season.
Absolutely. Shane Savage, I think Faz mentioned him earlier in the season. His last two scores actually been pretty decent, 90 and 104. He's a backline player. At 384,000, he might actually be a decent buy this week.
And hopefully Joey Montagna destroys it.
Yep. So I think those would be the main guys that we're sort of looking at.
But maybe not so much Jack Stephen. Like, Jack Stephen has shown that he can beat a tag before, but I'm guessing Robinson goes to him, and that puts a fair bit of doubt on Stephen's ability to score, given the fact that he's had a pretty light run of late.
Yeah, and in his last month of football, he hasn't scored above 80. All right, the next team to look at is Port Adelaide, because they play the Gold Coast Suns. Now, it's been a mixed season for both, and I think you could argue that Port may even lose to Gold Coast depending on the week, but I think that, you know, the last round to go is a decent time to take a punt, especially seeing as Gold Coast aren't playing the most consistent football at the moment. And in particular, the backline players score quite well against Gold Coast. So if you're looking for a play in the backline, a player like Jasper Pittard could be pretty decent value at 435,000, Mark.
Yeah, and I think that Pendlebury last week and Zaha Rakis and Zach Merritt the week before have just completely carved up the Suns midfield as well. So I actually think a player like Robbie Gray is probably a pretty good pick this week.
All right, the last sort of POD team, again, non-top eight team, is Carlton, because they play Essendon. So I just mentioned that I brought in JJ because he was playing Essendon, and he scored 130. So imagine what Doherty and Simpson are able to do against Essendon this week. I know you might not want to think about that, Mark, but Supercoach-wise, it's a pretty tempting prospect, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Very tempting, those two. You'd think that they're sort of locks for 110+, which is awesome for a defensive score. And I've been saying this for a number of weeks, that I think that Gibbs and Cripps are potentially pretty good picks this week as well, running around in that Bombers midfield. I know that last 2 weeks the midfield hasn't completely destroyed the Bombers, and the Bombers have kept their hands on the ball a fair bit, and I know Craig Bird's been doing a bit of a defensive tagging role, but generally they should be reliable. I would expect Carlton to win this week, and those two are going to be key movers and shakers for them.
Cripps probably is one of the four midfielders right now. If I can read out his last 5 games, 137, 118, 124, 118, and 153 from the weekend. Some players tend to just improve in the second half of the season and really set themselves up for next year. Cripps look like he's in that type of form at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know that last year his goal kicking wasn't amazing, but just on the weekend he had to kick from 50 and just completely nailed it. And just his confidence just really seems to be growing.
Yeah. So that's it for the more untraditional, you know, non-top eight teams with a good draw. If you want to look at the more traditional teams, you look at the top eight teams. Adelaide against West Coast could be a decent game, but that's a little bit more dangerous considering West Coast beat Hawthorn last week.
Yep.
Geelong v Melbourne seems like a no-brainer, though, as does Sydney v Richmond.
Yeah, Sydney v Richmond's probably the one that stands out for me. Richmond travelling last game of the year, Sydney in fantastic form. I think that that could be a decent score for the Swans, and a lot of their midfielders could fire up.
GWS against North could be decent as well. Of course, North have a bit to play for wanting to turn around some form, but considering their recent form, you'd think that GWS are clear favourites as well. So you could look there. Hawthorn plays Collingwood. That should be fairly safe. After Hawks have lost the last two, you'd think that they'd have a fair point to prove with 1 week to go until the final start. And there's Western Bulldogs v Frio as well, although the Dogs have been struck by injury and they are playing away. To be honest, St Kilda, Port and Carlton kind of look potentially even more tempting.
Yep, I'd agree with that, mate. I think that the Bulldogs-Fremantle game, it could really go one way or another. It could be a complete trap of a game. Being Matthew Pavlich's last game, Freo might fire up, but then they may also be looking forward to Mad Monday and just completely check out.
Let's jump on into the general trade questions, Mark.
Let's do it.
Before we get into how we should use our trades, let's just quickly get through Rory Sloan first, who has accepted the one-week offer for punching Brad Ebert. Not too hard, so it's a little bit harsh, but he's out for the week. And sadly, I think also out of Brownlow contention.
The annoying thing with this is that he posted two poor scores before he did it, and then he's out. Like, and I guess anyone that owned Sloan last year that's owned him again this year probably puts him in the never again basket. But 2 weeks ago, he was doing awesome and he was a great pick. So, yeah, very frustrating, but no, we're not going to be able to punch him in the face.
That was Chris Kusheri's question. Is there any way we can collectively punch Rory Sloan in the face? That garnered quite a few likes. 542,000 does mean you have some options, though. You're not completely hamstrung, which is good. At nearly underscore 23 has asked who the best trade in for Sloan is. If you had to go on pure top scoring potential and considering this week's opposition as well, because obviously we're not looking at who's most likely to average the highest scores. Who's going to score the most this week? Who would you have, Mark?
Look, I think that Cripps is the guy this week. I think he's the number one pick. There's a good chance that he cops a tag and doesn't completely dominate, but I think he should still be all right because he relied so much on contested ball. I think that it really depends a little bit how much money you've got. Josh Kennedy's probably a really good pick as well. I know he only posted a 90 on the weekend, but his form of late has been very good. Any of those Sydney midfielders, Hannabury, Parker, are probably good picks as well if you don't have them. And then I guess, like, it depends a little bit whether you want to gamble to try and get a really big score or whether you, like, want to have a floor on that. So whether you want to have someone like Lachie Neal, who is more than likely going to post you 100, has a bit of a ceiling as well, but given his opposition this week, might not completely dominate. Versus someone like Bryce Gibbs, who probably has a really big ceiling against the Bombers, but also could post a 60 and completely suck. So, look, I think that for me personally, Neil's probably a pretty decent pick, but I like the Sydney or Carlton midfielders.
If we're not looking at top scoring options, Mark, but instead we're looking just for the best replacements if you don't have any cash. So if you only could go Sloan and downwards, who would your best three picks be in that situation?
The one that probably stands out is maybe Joel Selwood against Melbourne at Skilled. That seems at 511,000. That seems pretty good. Lachie Neal at 528 and Bryce Gibbs at 531. So that gives you a bit of flexibility. All three of those guys have pretty decent, well, two of them have decent opposition, and Neal just gets it done every week. So I think all of them have pretty high ceilings and would be decent selections this week.
The next question here from Gary Real. So now we're moving on to just more general trade advice. Last week, Gary had four trades and a full premium team. So he thought he might as well use two trades and get rid of players that are poor scoring. He ended up trading out Howe, who scored 130, which is quite painful. This week, he has two trades left again, and again, a full premium team. He's asking, is he in a situation where he's best off not actually using the trades? Like, is the advice to not trade and keep trades unused?
I don't think I could take a trade through to the end of the season. I've never actually done that before. There's got to be a way to use your trades. I know that side swapping premiums can be very dangerous. I mean, last week I was looking into Pendlebury, Wells, and Aaron Hall as all the options that maybe had performed poorly over the recent period or were showing signs of injury and might be traded out, and all of them kicked ass on the weekend. Imagine I had traded Pendles out, that would have been terrible. I know one of the guys that we know very well, Hondo, traded Daniel Wells to Buddy, so lost 98 points. That would be pretty devastating. So yeah, it can be really, really tricky, but there's got to be ways. Like, can you be trading around your bench players? Can you do a downgrade, upgrade on your bench and do a bit of loopholing maybe? What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And I think that'd be precisely how I recommend using those trades. So if you're in a situation where you have a full premium team and trades left, what you're best off doing is putting your worst scoring premium as an emergency. If they score awfully, then trade into another premium, but that way you at least know you're getting rid of a shit score. In addition to that, if you have any players that might score big, or even just any bench positions really that are not taken, make sure you chuck an E, even if they seem unlikely to score big. Even Tom Phillips managed a 103 last week. Yeah. You want to be putting the E on people that, one, you can either get rid of a poor score, or two, take an unexpected good score. So that might mean using your trade to trade in a donut so that you can get a player on field. That might sound out there, but it's about making the most effective use of your trades. And the best way to do that is to use the loophole, because that gives you a second chance at things. That gives you a second chance to use a trade.
Yep, that seems like really good advice, mate. And absolutely, I think that side-swapping premiums, unless you are trying to counter a negative point of difference, like if I had two trades this week, I would potentially bring in Max Gorn, even against Geelong, just because like it could win me a grand final if I can back the rest of my team in.
That's it for general trade questions. We did get a question from Chris saying he's thinking about trading in Dane Swan for old time's sake if he doesn't have any donuts and needs to, you know, loophole someone.
That's awesome.
That's not crazy, and that is awesome. Extra cool points there. If you can trade in a 570,000 donut and his name is Dane Swan, good on you, Chris. And we'll move on to the next, to our last Captain's Corner segment for the year, Mark. It's been very, very good karma since we started doing this, so I think we'll continue it on into next year as well. As a kicker, Ross Martin has asked for some left field options, because that may be the difference for many this round. So first off, who are you considering, you know, as your standard VC and C, and who are your more out there selections?
So I think that the VC is really, really obvious this week, that it should be Danger playing against the D's at Skilled. He showed a little bit more form on the weekend, and he'll be wanting to get ready for finals. If he had a kick straight on the weekend, he would have probably scored 200. So I think Danger's an absolute lock, and then it gets a bit more interesting when you're going for captains, because there are quite a variety of choices. Look, I think if you are expecting to win your grand final, then Hannabry's probably a really good pick against the Tigers. I know he had a couple of down games recently, but he seems like a pretty safe pick for 115, sort of around that mark. Anyone playing the Suns, like a Robbie Gray, might be a good left field option. Maybe even a Nick Riewoldt if you had to against the Lions, or Joey Montagna, although that's extremely risky. And maybe even Pendles again against the Hawks, but Pendles doesn't have a huge history of backing up big games with other big games. So I'd probably be going Danger into one of the Sydney boys. I know that's a reasonably quick turnaround, but that's kind of how I'm looking at it this week.
I'm looking at, obviously, yeah, Danger VC2 and Hannabry's definitely one of the two that I'm considering for the captaincy. Bontempelli would be the other one against Freo. If I was going for more POD, it'd definitely be Robbie Gray against Gold Coast. I think there's big points there. All right, and the kicker to round out the season, I put this one in because I think you'll have a bit of a kicker from this, Mark. James Hawkins, or at JM Hawkins, who would your three must-haves be in a game of Survivor Supercoach? And I think as a flavour to enter 2017 with, who would your three must-haves be for Supercoach 2017?
My must-haves in a game of Supercoach Survivor next year. Who'd be good at networking? That's the question. I think that, look, it's really hard to say. It's really, really early days. I think Cripps is someone that stands out that would be exciting to pick next year. I think that it's going to be hard not to have Maxi Gorn next year. He can go out and get all the wood for you and build a good shelter. And I think Doherty's going to really put his hand up next year as well. The fact that he might come down a bit in price might make it hard to start him, but he looks like a super coach, bona fide elite premium for the next few years.
I'm going to go with Gawn as well. Just, you got to get the must-have rucks in them. I'm glad he's on my team this year. He'll be again next year. Beams, I think, will be an absolute bargain, having, what is it, scored 93 and 66 only this year. That seems like a brilliant pick as well. And then I am going to go with Mr. Bontempelli. Averaged 108 this season, and hopefully he takes that into ultra-premium category next year.
Yeah, I think it might be a bit scary not starting Bont next year.
Whew, we're at the end. That's it.
Have survived. We are the last survivors, and the jury has voted me the winner. Where's my $1 million check?
Right. What do you have to leave our listeners with one last time for this season?
Thank God that this season's over, and hopefully I can sneak into the top 1,000.
Well, I'm going to end on a little bit more of a high. I'm hoping I can sneak into the top 500. More importantly, in fact, most importantly, I'm hoping we win the league, finally. That's honestly, I will be so flipping happy if that happens. Go Cats. I think we're a decent shot as well. Looks like we might play Adelaide in the first final, which will be fairly exciting. And we haven't lost to them yet, so I'm hoping good things come from Geelong. And of course, again, and we've already mentioned it a couple of times, but just a massive thanks to you guys out there. Thanks for your support. Thanks for engaging. I just want to say, you know, get involved as much as you can with our community. I know it's small and we're not the most active forum out there. There's definitely busier forums out there. But, you know, if you appreciate what we do and you appreciate our show and, you know, you don't feel like Patreon's the right way to support us, then support us by getting on board with our forums, connecting with us over social media.
And I should give out a really big thanks to everyone that's asked questions all year. I know there's some people that really get on there every week and try and help us really make the content for the show. And I know that they get some benefit from us answering the questions, but those regular supporters, you know who you are. Massive thanks to you guys, because we couldn't do it without you.
Last thanks would be to our partners, Mark. Massive thanks to Mel and to my partner, to Rach. They put up with a lot. Hopefully you come back even stronger next year with a win under our belts, mate.
All right, see you everyone.
See you guys, and don't forget patreon.com/supercoachcoach if you're looking for our season review episode that'll be released exclusively. Massive thanks. Catch you for season 2017 next year. All the best for your last round in the grand final. See ya.
Yeah.